While you're turning, we're going to make the announcement again. The right hand of fellowship will be given next Sunday. We would say to you, if you're interested in taking the right hand of fellowship, you should read the bylaws and understand that the bylaws and the dress codes and the code of conduct in there doesn't cover everything. And what is not covered by them, I cover from here. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
What is not covered in them, I will cover it from here. Me and the black back book called the Bible have been trying to be your faithful servant for a long time. Up to this time, God has put his approval upon our bylaws, our doctrine, and what I cover from up here. Am I right? When I came 30-some years ago, I didn't have to worry about two women falling in love and seeking a place to get married. It wasn't legal. Now, 2016, it's legal. Two men falling in love and wanting to get married and applying for a license at the state of Ohio. Can legally be married, but not in this pulpit.
Amen.
See, that's the difference about what we have to amend. For when I first came here, that was not in our bylaws. Now, we amend them to keep up with the times. That's why I say read them. If you're sympathetic towards that kind of a lifestyle, you won't feel comfortable here. Not that I don't have sympathy for them. I want them to be saved. I want them to be free. I want them to know God in a personal way. Can I get an amen? We've had the back seat at one service. There was probably 7 or 8 homosexual men sitting back there, some of them with lipstick on. And they made fun of me while I preached to them, but I preached to them and I reached for them. And as they were leaving, one of them handed me a note. He didn't ask for a date. He said, "Will you please pray for me?" That's what the preaching of the gospel is meant to do. Shine a light in a dark world. We want Dryden Road to continue to stay a lighthouse, a beacon. Have I got any backers? So your toleration of the old man in the pulpit will maybe tax to its limits. But if I feel like it is sin, I will preach it as sin. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
And if I call it sin, it's because the Bible calls it sin. I have personal convictions that you don't have. I understand that. I do not make you live my personal convictions. But when it comes to doctrine, personalities disappear. It is the doctrine. The Bible calls it sound doctrine. That's the type that had been proved. So, 2016 is going to be vigorously aggressive, and we must turn to be vigorously a Christian. We must give it our vigorous attention that we in 2016 are above all things a born-again child of God, sanctified by the Word and the Holy Ghost and the blood, and filled with heaven's Holy Ghost, not as the charismatics are, but like John preached, if there's one cometh after me, that I'm not worthy to bow and unloose his straps of his sandals. He said, I indeed baptize with water, but he shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. Help me preach the rest of it. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. Don't be no tongue-talking, deceived person. Don't stop there. If you get the real, genuine Holy Ghost, you will get some fire that'll take care of the sin in your life. It will burn it out. No, that's not my message. That's my 2016 kickoff. Let's go get them. We have been challenged in our home. I intend to keep mine. I want to quote Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How many will say it with me? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I mean, as a man, I've got to be the leader. As a man, I've got to love her like I've never loved her before in my life.
That's right.
As a man, I must make decisions. And I must expect her to follow them. So therefore, I will make them prayerfully.
That's it.
So that she will have no trouble believing me when I say, I think we ought to do this.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
2016 means that we'll have to have more revivals than we've ever had.
You're right.
So if we pick the pace up of revival, and I don't want you missing.
Right.
Why in the world would I want to call a revival and not be able to depend on you?
That's right. Faithfulness.
We need revival. How many can say we need revival? We had revival with Brother Darius just a few short nights. Just a few short nights. Just a few short nights. Some folks didn't come one night. Not that he couldn't preach. Not that he isn't a great preacher. Not that they didn't like him. They just busy. Just busy. And so were they in the days of Noah. And it kept them out of the ark. You don't want to watch that spirit. You'd say to you think there's a spirit in every bush. Shake it and find out. Shake it. When I was a little boy, they wouldn't allow me to pack a gun. They took me rabbit hunting, but they wouldn't let me have a gun. You know why I went? I helped with the dogs. Dogs would run the rabbit, but it says little boys that got to get up on top of the brush pile and stomp it. If there's a rabbit in there and he took off, that's a dog's job. I got him out. It's their job to shoot him. But I was a rabbit hunter. I loved the day when they gave me the gun. I noticed they all stood behind me. Like you do. That's all behind me. But everybody had a job back then. Some not as important as others. We all had a job. We cut wood. We packed wood. We pumped water. We all had a job. Nobody was a freeloader. You come to the table to eat because you earned your spot. You worked. I know what you kids are saying, but Dad's, you know, Dad, you got a Noah's Ark with him. Maybe. But it's still the best training you can get.
You're right.
Is to realize faithfulness to your family.
That's it.
will breed faithfulness to your church. And faithfulness to your church will get you the love of God in your home. God will love you. Amen. That is not my message either. So turn with me after no more talking. And she ducks her head. It's time to First John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I hear the professor correcting me. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master." "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. I want to preach on what we expect in 2016. I want to look at these two men and look at their experience. Two men with two preachers. Both of them tremendously praised by one another. John will say of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus will say of John, "There is no greater prophet ever been born to woman than John the Baptist." So you have two great preachers. One, John, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Then you have the Christ, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you have these two men caught between two preachers. And it's that looking at what preachers do and how listening to preachers can bring you to an hour. An hour that you will have to step beyond the preacher when he can take you no further. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
So here we go. Father, stand by me tonight and give me strength that I've lacked for a week or so. I feel like you have stood by me. I feel like you have touched me. Therefore do I come tonight to preach. And if you will come to me, Lord, I need to pray for some people after I get through preaching. So I need you now and I need you then. Stand by me now to help me preach. Stand by me then to help me to lay hands on the sick and find relief for my people. I will thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the church said,
amen.
Two men who find in Jesus Christ an experience. I want to consider this incident. I believe it holds within it some of the ingredients that will go to make this year a revival year, a transforming experience in our own life. 2016 needs to be a year of revival.
Yes, sir.
Personal, if not corporate.
Yes, sir.
If the church doesn't want to go as a whole, then individually we should seek for 2016 to be a year of revival. How do we do that? How do we do that? First, look, the preacher. I've spent several weeks on a preacher. Lord, forgive us. How far do we go with a preacher? The one by whom these two men were brought to that hour, the preacher. God called men are called preachers. Foretellers, forthtellers. We are to take the word of God and expound it. Whether we be analytical, whether we be whatever, the whole of it is to get this message to some life. John's whole message was this: I am he that was mentioned in Isaiah. I am the one preparing the way of the Lord. He never drifted from it. He called Israel out of sin because the Messiah was among them who they did not know. It's a preacher's job to introduce you to Jesus Christ. It's a preacher's job to introduce you to a Christ that will lead you away. This preacher was John the Baptist, and he was preaching. He preached and brought these two men to this critical hour. They were standing with him. He had just defended Christ. He had defended himself and said, I am not the Christ. But he said, there's one among you whom you know not. He was trying to get them to know Jesus. Can a preacher lead you to an hour? I think so. I think more than one sermon has led a man to the hour of a crisis, to where he would change his way of thinking and go from unsanctified to sanctified. I think a preacher can preach a message that will lead you to the hour when you will go from not being filled with the Holy Ghost to being filled with the Holy Ghost. I think a preacher can preach a message that will lead you out of sickness to deliverance. For they, preachers, shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Are you going to help me? A preacher is sent to lead. He's going to lead in this critical hour of 2016. We need preachers. And the preacher has his place. He does not feel everything, but he has his place. He has his place simply because in the ways of God, God said that the preaching of the gospel would be done by men. Am I right? How can they preach except they be sent? That means God's got to call. God's got to pick. God's got to choose. But once you have that calling of God on your life, you're no longer your own. You're a bondservant. You have then one duty. That's to lead everybody you can to Jesus Christ. You're to inform them about Christ. You're to teach them about Christ. So this was what John was doing. He was a chosen instrument of God. He was preaching the word as much as he knew it. And that word was, introduce Jesus Christ, make his way so that men can find him. Now that these two men heard him speak, they called two disciples. They were not the disciples of Jesus because they didn't know him. They were the disciples of John. John had preached and they had heard. And these two young men, I believe it was John and Andrew, The disciple whom Jesus loved. I believe that's the reason why he never mentions his name, but he will tell you who the other companion was, and it's Andrew.
All right.
So we have these two men. Let's not just leave them in the fog. One of them's named Andrew. The other one's name is John.
Right.
They're two young men. John was probably the youngest of all of the disciples. Two young men. They're standing there. They have been intrigued by the preacher. John preached. They were intrigued. They come and listen to John preach. He preached. It's not lawful for you to have her.
Right.
He was a holiness preacher.
Yes, he was.
The axe is laid to the root. He was a holiness preacher.
Yes.
He not only pointed them to Jesus Christ, but he pointed and told the soldiers, don't take things that don't belong to you. He was a preacher. They loved his preaching. They heard his preaching. So one day they stood and they heard John say it. See him? That's the Lamb of God. As Jesus walked, Jesus was walking and John was following with his fingers. See him?
Yes.
The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It's an interesting little thing right there. The two disciples heard him speak. They were listening to John preach. But then, and they followed Jesus. The day, the hour had come that John could do no more. He had brought them to the realization and the revelation of who Jesus was. That the Messiah was now on earth. That this man was the anointed Christ. This was Emmanuel. This was the Messiah. This was the hope of Israel. This was the day spring from on high. This was the morning star. This was God's revelation to man. So they follow the preacher. They listen to the message. And the message brings them to a critical hour. They are now as far as they can go with John. They must step out by faith and take it a step further. Had these not been attentive to John's preaching, if they hadn't have been there that day, and heard John that day. Oh, you're not helping me, are you? If they had not heard, if they had not have been there, some folks said, it don't matter if you go to church or not, you can live it at home. You'll never go nowhere. Some of these messages are sent from God to individuals. If you're not here, you will not be able to take that step and follow on.
All right.
As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? So how do we go? How do we do that? How do we do that? It's not something you can do listening to a television preacher. I don't care how many steps they tell you. It's no three-step thing to faith. There's no seven steps to deliverance and plenty. At the end of the month, they're going to expect your check. And where have they led you? And where have they led you? I said, where have they led you? If he's not a God-called preacher, he's in it for the money, which makes him a hireling. If he's out there only building up a business because he knows how to make merchandise of you, he may have great messages, They may thrill you, but if they do not lead you to a deeper experience, they have not helped you. If that leaves you like it finds you, you have not done anything by listening. John came with a message. John preached his message. And John said, he must increase. I must decrease. Every preacher will tell you when it comes to Jesus Christ, we must decrease. We must become transparent. We must stay behind the cross. You must not see us in our personality. You must not see us in our abilities, our talents. You must see Jesus Christ, or our preaching is in vain. So they heard John, but they followed Jesus. You have to have been there to see it. Can you turn the auto visual on in your mind, drop down the screen, and see these two young men as they stand there beside this great preacher, this holy prophet, this far-breathing great saint? And all of a sudden, they hear him? That's who? That's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And they hear John ringing. There it is. There's a message. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And they walk away from John.
Yeah.
Amen. Follow Jesus.
Yes. Right?
Amen.
Yes.
There comes a time when in your heart you must quit saying, if Brother Benny makes it, we are to make it. That's too much preacher religion. I'm not preaching good, am I? Too much preacher religion. You don't want preacher religion. You want a Savior. So John preaches his message and they hear and they go after Jesus.
Right.
These two men heard him speak. Then they were arrested by John and became his disciple. He kept them. But the day come when they stepped away from John to follow Jesus. And the likelihood is, if they had missed that experience, it had changed the whole course and the pattern of their life. And we would have no Gospel of John.
Right.
And we'd have no first and second and third epistle
right.
of John. A misstep can cost you in your experience. Some folks say, why haven't I gone anywhere? Why haven't I done anything? Why haven't I accomplished anything? You missed a misstep somewhere. You should have listened to that message. You should have obeyed it. If it meant walking away from your favorite preacher. You say, Brother Benny, are you trying to get me to leave Dryden Road? No, I'm trying to get you to go higher. Oh, it is a common saying that the church, the congregation, never gets higher than the pastor. Isn't that a horrible thought? And that just about makes you want to cry. I feel so sorry for some people. But look at them. Go to these churches and look at them. And ask them, where do they shut it off at that they don't try anymore? When they live what their pastor tells them. Brother Benny preaches it. Is that good enough? John preached it. He preached to Christ. He preached the coming Messiah. He preached that Messiah was among them. But when it came that hour, John didn't hesitate to say, all right, boys, you see him? That's the one I've been talking about. And they said, "That what does that mean, John?" And John said, you know what that means. You want more, you got to find him. Are you going to help me preach? They missed that experience. It would have changed them.
Yes, it would.
But they didn't miss it. Now come with me as I preach to you about the preachers. The preacher has his place, but he has his limits. I can't save you. I can't heal you. I can't give you a guarantee you'll make heaven. But I can lead you. And you can follow me as I follow Christ. You see, a preacher has his limits. Listening to John meant much in their lives. Listening to him. Some of you have listened to me for 30 some years. I have made a difference in your life. My preaching of faith, my preaching of the coming of the Lord, my preaching of against sin, my stance that I've taken has affected your life. You know that say amen. I'm not up here trying to get you to say amen to Benny Sutherland. I'm up here telling you that you will have preachers, but they are limited. They can only do so much for you. He has his place, but he has his limits. John had done much for these two young men, but looking beyond him meant more. You need revival if I don't have revival. And I mean to have revival if you don't have revival. You need to live as good as you can, if not better than I do. I would be happy for you to live as good as I do. I never have to worry about long hair again on men. Never have to worry about anything. If you wear as much jewelry as I do, we'd all be happy. You go to the show as much as I do, we'd all be happy. You're not helping me preach, are you? The preacher is in his place, but he's limited. A preacher can preach to you to bring you to a critical hour, but he can't lead you on. A preacher can find the truth and set you free with it, but you have to act on it. A preacher is limited. I can give you a message from the Holy Ghost, but there's no way I can make you want it. So I am up here tonight preaching about this experience of these two young men who heard John and let John lead them. It was essential, as John's work was, it was not a sermon that stirred these two men and transformed their lives. I wish I had a dollar for every sermon I preached. I could buy me several steaks. If I had a dollar for every sermon I preached to you, I could buy me several steaks. In fact, the archives, I don't know how many thousand sermons there is in the Dryden Road archives. Sermons. And it's become a pastime in the Holiness Church that we don't judge a preacher by anything but by his sermon delivery. It's not how much he feels. It's not how much he's burdened. But did he put his three peas in the pod? Did I get high? Did he show me something new? It's not, my friend, the whole of a sermon is for your benefit to lead you further into Christ. John preached Jesus among them. Jesus with them. Until these two young men said, okay, if that's him, if that's the one we're looking for, we need to find out if it's really him, John. Excuse me.
They didn't go back for another one of John's sermons. Did that make John wrong? No. John's destiny was that he would be beheaded and not preach again. Jesus' destiny that he's going to go to a cross and die for them. Which sermon is the best? John, who points to him and will lose his head because of him, or Christ, who can tell you, I've come to give you life and it more abundantly. I want to know about this man who can give me abundant life. I can give you eternal life. I want to know about this man that can give me the gift of eternal life. I've come to set the prisoner free. I'll need to know that man. Come to set the captive at liberty. I need to know that man. I've come that the blind may see, the deaf may hear, the dumb may speak, the lame may leap, that lepers may be cleansed, that the dead may be raised. I am the resurrection and the life. I need to know about that man. To hear, it's wonderful to hear a sermon about him, but to know him. It's wonderful to hear preachers preach, and I love to hear preachers preach about him. Christology is my favorite subject. I love sermons about Jesus Christ. But they can only take you so far. So they heard John and followed Jesus. Listening, the two disciples heard him and then they followed Jesus. It is in this the preacher has his place. But he has his limit. There is not only the preacher here, but the preacher who brought these men to that hour. But there is a presence. First, we are led to Christ by a preacher. And then that preacher leads us to the presence. And I want you to know, my friend, between the two, the presence of the Lord. The very heart of the experience of these men lay in their encounter with the presence and the person of Jesus Christ. The presence and the person. They could not be in his presence until they are with his person.
Amen. That's right.
If they stay with John, they will never know about Jesus.
Right.
For them to know about Jesus, they must go beyond John.
Right.
They must come into his presence. They must know his person. Help me preach. You see, it is in this, the presence. Somehow or other, that encounter must be ours in 2016. I've got young people, and I love them. I love them. I love them dearly. They worry me, and I don't like to be worried. It's this old man's job to lead you as far as I can, and then point you to the presence.
You're right.
If I can lead you to his presence and introduce you to his person, you will never be the same.
Amen.
Sermons are to get your attention so I can point you to Jesus. Sermons are to get your attention. Snappy sermon titles are just to get your attention so we can point you to Jesus. The correct way to title a sermon is that you must tell its completeness in less than a sentence. And if you cannot tell the completeness of your sermon in less than a sentence, it's not a correct title. That's why I do not title mine half of the time, because I cannot do that. It is here that these two men make the greatest decision of their life. This man they love because he had brought them out of the wilderness and brought them up to his side, and they stood with John. They were his disciples. They were standing here. John had brought them to this critical hour. And now John says, there's something more, boys. I'd love for you to stay with me, but I got to tell you the truth. I'm not him, but that's him right there. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah, but that's him. And they heard John, and they followed Jesus. 2016, it's time that we change our thinking about sermons and that we start looking for something more valuable to us than a sermon collection. We need a person into whose presence we can enter. We need a person. The person is not John. The person is not the pastor. We need a person. We need a person. Somebody that can go with you 24/7. We need a person. Somebody that can answer all of your prayers. We need a person. We need somebody that can do the impossible. We need a person. We need a supernatural person. We need God. So they heard John and followed Jesus. Does that mean that you don't listen to your pastor? That absolutely does not mean that. That means that you get a desire to go further than what you've ever been before in your life. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My young, precious young people, some of you still do not have a personal experience with Jesus Christ. You come out of a holiness home, but somehow you have not had a personal experience in the presence of the Lord. If I ask you, let's see what would be a real tough decision making. Have you ever been in the presence of the Lord to where it slew you under the power? How many has ever been slain in the power of the Holy Ghost? Okay, now hold your hand up. Look, that is not the majority. And of all of those, there were very few, if any, young person. You listen to sermons about the Holy Ghost. You love to see a preacher get up here and do like Brother Gary, slap his legs and jump around, or like Brother Darius, run back around, or like somebody else, you know, who preaches. You love to watch the gyrations of a preacher. You just love that anointing of the Holy Ghost. You love to hear him preach about it. But then, where do you go? You see, number one, let's listen. Number one, they step away from John. And they start following Jesus. They are not walking with him. They're following him. He turns around and says, whom seek ye? Whom seek ye? Master, where dwellest thou? They had no clue of why they were doing what they were doing, except John said, that's him. They started following him and they were encountered by him. The person of Christ said, whom seek ye? He is inviting them. He will invite them. Come, you want to know about me? Come. Come and see. Always an open invitation. He never pushes anybody down, no matter what your age is. If the story is true, which I don't have any doubt in my heart that it is, so many of the Houston clan told it, that Sister Floaty got the Holy Ghost when she was 5 years old, then I have no reason to doubt he will not push you away because of your age. If a five-year-old little girl can get the Holy Ghost of speaking in tongues till adults hear her speak in tongues, and her dad, which thinks it's all just a put-on, goes up there and gets a hold of her and said, I would that you'd turn me loose. Come on. And I never felt that much power on a child in my life. Come on. All of that goes to show you there is no age limitation. Come on. Come on. Mom and dad, you should be John, pointing him out and pushing them into his presence. They go after him. He turns and encounters them. Where dwellest thou? They ask the question because they need to know, can you be approached? Can I find you when I need you? You remember, they've never spent no time with him. Where you dwell? It's like if I wanted to make a relationship with Brother Whitley, I would say, Brother Mike, where do you live? You mind if I come and see you? Do you mind if I come and talk to you?...do you mind if I interrupt you? Have you got time for me? Where dwellest thou? You know, if you don't have time for somebody... ...if you don't have time for somebody... ...you don't give them your address. You don't give them your phone number. Am I right? Where dwellest thou? Jesus says to them... Come and see. Come on, boys. Don't stand back here. Come on and see. Come on, move up here. Move up here to my side. John is going to move up here by his side, never to leave it. John's going to move up here by his side, and standing by the cross, he will commit his mother to John. That's the kind of an experience he's going to get from that come and see. You move from a sermon about him to the person of him, into his presence to abide. I wish you'd help me preach. We become a bunch of sermon people. But we need to be a person people. We need to leave where the sermon leaves us and come to this altar to find him and to come into his presence. You see, they will spend all day with him. I must hurry. They will spend all day with him, but then they will leave him. Oh, they'll be back. They'll be back. But when they leave his presence, they have been changed because they have now a burden. The first thing they say when they leave him, and Andrew goes to find Simon. You know what they say? We have found. We found the Messiah. We have found. When you find something, oh glory be to God. When you find something, it'll change your life. When you find that something, which is the Messiah, they not only found the promised one, but they found the Savior. They were transformed by that afternoon with Jesus. For as soon as they left him, they went with a burden. They came without a burden, but they left him with a burden. It was a burden to be so excited about what they found. A burden means to lift up, take hold of. The burden for the Word of God is that I see it and I pick it up. And now I've got a burden. I've got the Word of God. They had a burden. For Jesus had probably said to them when they asked him, what's your mission? He said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Then do you want us to tell people that you're the Messiah? Tell anyone you want. Tell everybody you want. You can use that word, for that's who I am. Somebody ought to say amen. They had a burden. That burden created in them a priority. They were now people with a burden and with a mission. You see, the prior 2016 is We must got a burden, and we must have a mission. This year will be wasted without a burden and without a mission. We must come under a burden in order to lift it. Am I right? Must come under a burden to lift it. I must be willing to be burdened to lift it. I must know that if I take put my hands on that, that's going to be a burden. But he that puts his hands to the plow and looketh back, not worthy. You've obligated yourself. Your priority is to plow straight furrows. And if you keep looking back, you're going to be like a drunk man. It's priority. What is your priority? What seek ye? Who seek ye? That's the question of 2016 to this church that I love. What are you seeking? Are we going to fall into the Laodicean age? You want to hear what the Laodicean age is? We are rich. We are increased with goods. We need nothing. Notice where he is, the Christ that John pointed them to in this Laodicean church. Notice where he's at. He's standing at the door knocking and saying, if any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. What seek ye? In 2016, do you have a burden? And do you feel a mission? What seek ye? Why do you come to church? What is the purpose of gatherings? What is the purpose of fellowship? Help me, Holy Ghost, and stand by me. I was hoping you'd come along easy. So now I must preach to you this priority. I think that the biggest problem that I have with this generation is priorities. I think they are so misplaced. In fact, I don't know of very many people who have priorities. We have found the Messiah. We have found truth. We have found the experience. We have found it. But responsibility now that fills our hands is a burden to what to do with this truth. Can this Pentecostal experience be perpetuated? Can I pass this on to my children? Can my children pass it on to their children? The answer to that is yes. For it's as many as the Lord our God shall call, and their children and their children's children. Amen. Am I right? So there is a passing on, but do I have a burden to pass it on? Do I have a mission to pass it on? Am I going to let my children get through and out there and marry somebody out of the will of God? Am I going to stand by and tell my children and my grandchildren that you can marry a sinner? Can I tell them the truth and be a man of God with any priorities if I do not stand up and say, if you're giving your heart to a sinner, you are out of the will of God, you're misstepping, and you'll never know His power. You'll never know His presence, and you'll never have an experience that gives you His person. If you follow Hollywood, you're going to sooner or later be involved in pornography. They will introduce you to it through their films, through their books. One day it's going to be revealed that we have a crisis with pornography. One day folks are going to shut, when they get their priorities right, they're going to shut those programs off. And they're going to confess because they want to get into the presence and the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, you're not helping me. I'll do you like I tell them at Bond. I'll come out here among you and preach. So you can see the white of my eyes. Close this gap up. Pornography is a $1 billion business. How do they keep it going? Through hooking people. How do they hook people? Books, magazines, programs, computers, social media. If I ask you tonight, if everybody bow their head and close their eyes real tight, you would raise your hands and say, have you ever been bitten by that temptation called pornography? I wonder how many hands would go up in this house tonight. Listen, we got to have priorities. If we do not have priorities, we'll never come faithfully to church. Church ought to be a priority. Reading your Bible ought to be a priority. Praying ought to be a priority. Am I right? Are you helping me preach now? Priorities. We must understand, no matter how much we love our children, you ought to look and inspect phones. Computers. Literature. Most of all, you ought to shake down friends. How can two walk together except they be agreed? When I see a holiness child take up friends with somebody in the world, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Come on now. Where are they going to lead you? John led them up to Christ, and then they listened to him and followed Jesus. That's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to me and follow Jesus. You've got to have priorities. They came away with a priority. It's called a burden. They wanted somebody else to meet Jesus. They had just spent the afternoon with him. In one afternoon, they were convinced he was the Messiah. In one afternoon with Jesus, they were ready to lay their lives on the line. They had a priority. And Andrew first finds his brother. First finds his brother. Ain't nobody knows one another better than a brother knows a brother. Am I right? What do you know about him? He's a good brother. What do you know about him? Good brother. If he wasn't saved, would you tell him to get saved? If he wasn't saved, would you give him any peace until he was saved? Why go to Africa when the guy living in the next bedroom is not saved? Why go to Mexico wanting to find a sinner when you've got a house that's got sinners in it? You got family with sinners in them. Why do you want to go so far away? Why don't you find your own brother? Why don't you find your mother? Why don't you find your dad? Why don't you find your aunt, your uncle? Why don't you find somebody you can identify with and get a burden? Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm going to quit. I got more to preach, but I better just fold my book and take my seat. We pay a lot of lip service to the Lord. Because we have no priorities, we pay lip service to Him. We say, He says to us, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? A burden. A burden. What do you want? A blessing? What do you mean by a blessing? What seek ye? Have you an answer? What are you looking for? Nothing? Not a thing? You looking for a blessing? What do you mean by a blessing? What are you looking for? Jesus will say, ye will not believe except you see signs and wonders. What seek ye? Have you got an answer? 2016? What seek ye in 2016? Are you looking for something? What's your intentions? What's your intentions? If they were examined, would they pass inspection? Master, where dwellest thou? Come and see. They abode with Him that day, with Him. It's not preachers. We're here to inspect. It's not a church that we're here to inspect. The place for inspection for both of them, but not here, not tonight. It is Christ we're here to examine. He says, come and see. There standeth one among you that you know not. John had just said to that a couple of hours before they had found where he had dwelled. Now we come to this priority. We have found him. We have the experience. Priorities. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with what you have? That experience of which you have. The preacher that brought them to the hour. The presence when they were blessed by that hour. But the priority which they were burdened from that hour. 1 hour crisis. John said, behold him. The crisis was, do I stay where I'm at? Is this as much as I want? Do I just want to hear John preach? Is this all I need? Is this all I expect of God? Or do I listen to John and follow Jesus? And when they stepped away from John, it was the biggest step they ever took in their life. Because you can't go back. He that goes back and rebuilds again that which he's destroyed is a transgressor. Makes himself a transgressor. They can't go back to John. The door's closed. They must now get up there to Jesus. And they find him waiting on them. And they go to where he dwells. Now they're in the presence. And they know the person. They can see the color of his eyes. They can see how tall he is. They can listen to him reason with them. For it was the Old Testament that said, come let us reason together. So they're now reasoning together. And they did that as they abode with him that day. But when they got out of his presence, they didn't lose it. They were now burdened with a priority that says, I've got to tell this news to somebody. So Andrew goes to find his brother and leads him to Christ. And Peter is never the same. Nathanael is led by Philip. And Nathanael is never the same. Can you transform lives in 2016? Can you be an agent that transforms men and women in 2016? Can you get such a burden that you will be an agent that transforms people? Will you lead them out of darkness into the light? Will you bring them from destruction into salvation? Hallelujah. Witherspoon that told the story of talking to a young doctor who had graduated from college and for several years had gave himself to the work of researching cancer. Witherspoon said, "I was thrilled with that young man and his zeal, his dedication to give his life to fighting cancer." Witherspoon said at the end of the concluding conversation, he said to the young man as he looked right into his eyes, he said, and what, not that he doubted his work, he said, "And what will you do when you find it?" Said the young man, stood up for a moment, and then he said, "I'll tell the whole world." And where we sit with the antidote to sin and the greatest disease epidemic that we have in our homes, in our families, in our country is S-I-N. And I have the antidote to sin and the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse it from all sin. Come in out of there. Come in out of the hog pen. Come in out of the sty. Come in out of your mistakes. Come in out of darkness. The antidote is in the house. It's in the sermon. It's in the word. But it's really found at the altar when you go into his presence and you find his person. What I need and what Jesus needs is a people who have come back to their priorities. Have you an answer? I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care how experienced you are. I do not care what position you hold in the church or in the world. What are you looking for? Anything? I'll have to tell you something tonight in closing. The only place you'll find it not by listening to preachers. It may come that way. But that you will find it only so far as that sermon will take you. You will find it in his presence. In his presence. And only in his presence. I have done the part of a preacher tonight. I have brought you to the hour. I brought you to the moment. Now I'm going to point him out. Follow him. Follow Christ. Don't stop. There's more of him than you can ever imagine. Why stop with the preacher? You can have a Savior. Why stop with the preacher when you can have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Why stop and at the end of a sermon say, "Oh, that was really not worth my time to come in here," when all the time the preacher is just preaching you so that you will notice the Christ that is walking by? He's walking these aisles tonight. Presence and the power of the Holy Ghost has been in this place year after year after year after year. We have seen the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Sister Phyllis is sitting here. She can tell you about the power of God that used to be when she was a girl and they brought her to this church on a bus route. Am I right? A bus child. And now she is the Sister Phyllis Stiles. And you say following Jesus can't take you nowhere? Where do you want to go? What do you want? What is it? Young ladies, what is it you want? What is it that you want? What are you seeking? Who are you seeking? What do you want? A blessing? Define that. What kind of blessing do you want? Define it. And I tell you, you can dance in the Spirit. Tomorrow, you'll wish you could be back dancing in the Spirit. You can run. You can give a message. You can prophesy. You can lay hands on the sick. All of those tomorrow are all yesterday stuff. But there's somebody that's the same yesterday and today and forever. Define what kind of blessing you want. I want to find a good young man. I want to be a housewife. I want to raise babies. That's good, but what are you going to do without his presence? And what are you going to do without his person? Will your marriage end up in a divorce? Stand by me, Holy Ghost. What do you mean when you want a blessing? Why are you coming to this church? Just to hear the singing? Why do you come to this church? What is there in this church that draws you? I'll tell you when it's all sifted out. It's not the sermon. It's not the singing. But it's His presence that keeps coming. It's His presence that keeps coming to this church. It's His presence that shows up when nobody else cares. It's His presence that's come when there's nobody here but five or six of us at a prayer meeting. And He overwhelms you with His presence. And we speak in tongues as though we were in a great convocation of people. And there wasn't nobody here but just a few of us. Speaking in tongues like it's the greatest thing there ever was. Why? Because we got into His presence. Tomorrow, I'm going to need His presence. Tomorrow I'm going to need His person. You're not helping me. I can get along without dancing, though I like it. I can get along without a lot of things, and I wish they'd all go on all the time. But I can't make it without His presence. And His person. Brother Rick, I've lived with Him long enough that I can tell you when His person walks in a room.
Come on. Come on.
It just draws me.
Come on.
I told you that story about the demon-possessed woman that sat on the front seat in a meeting in California. She'd fall out every night under the power of the devil, and she would slither in the carpet and stick her tongue out. They would flick. They would pray for her and had no power over her. She'd done that demonstrating the devil's power in front of the preacher and everybody. And the preacher said, I'm going to go up on the mountain. He said, I'm going to pray there all night. He said, tomorrow night, we'll see. He goes up there. He prays all night. He comes back. And the next night, she's back on the floor, tongue just a flashing, eyes a bobbing around. They pray for her. She laughs at them. They ask her, said, where did you get such power? And she said, I got it off of the disobedience of God's people. She challenged them and people left. And the hour grew and they kept challenging her. And then one blessed moment of time, the back doors of that church swung open. She popped her head up and turned and said, not you! Not you! And the devil came out of her and they set her free because he walked in. His presence still makes the difference. I said, his presence still makes a difference. You can't handle the devil without his presence. You can't handle sickness without his presence. You can't handle disease and crippling things without his presence. But you let his presence come in. If he walks in, we've got the victory. If he walks in, we've got the power. If he walks in, we've got the upper hand. Because he may lead us, but it's through his presence. We've got to come back to his presence.
Raise your hand and give God the glory. Now obey him. Obey him.